puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time for Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, what are we talking about this week?
The research arm of the tech company Microsoft recently published a study on how artificial intelligence, AI, may transform a wide range of occupations. Two of those occupations are ones that I care deeply about. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning.
Okay, what did the study do?
Researchers at Microsoft examined more than 200,000 interactions between people and its AI product called Copilot. You know, people may have used it. And what they did is they compared the tasks that people asked Copilot to help with to the tasks that make up different occupations. Their goal was not to predict layoffs. It was to understand which kinds of work AI could assist with most easily.
What was the reaction when that study was released?
Well, I think some people misinterpreted it. You know, some media outlets jumped to the conclusion that, well, computers were going to replace people because now you didn't need this job because computers would do it. Unfortunately, that's not what the study said, and it's not, I think, what current AIs can do. If you ask an AI a question that it doesn't know and cannot know the answer to, well, it doesn't always admit that. Sometimes it simply makes up something that sounds plausible, and I think that tendency to generate misinformation combined with our human habit of believing anything we read online, I think that is the real threat posed by AI. Listeners may remember our conversation here back in January of 2025. I asked the question, what does AI know about Manitoba history? And, you know, I posed several questions and see what it could answer. The answers were a mixed bag. One of the AIs insisted repeatedly that many people, but not me, had written my three abandoned Manitoba books.
Now, which occupations did the study refer to when it says they're most likely to be transformed by AI?
Well, there was a whole bunch of them, but the top 10 were as follows. Social science researchers, paralegals and legal assistants, journalists and reporters, oops, proofreaders and copy editors, technical writers, customer service agents, sales representatives, text writers and authors. Well, that's one that I'm worried about, but even more so, historians, and then finally, translators and interpreters. Now, notably absent from that list, songwriters. But I think, as Bruce can attest, there are now increasing examples of quite popular songs written entirely by AI, the lyrics, the music. And he was actually playing for me a couple of weeks back a country music song on YouTube called The Ballad of Louis Riel. You should play it sometime.
Didn't you play it?
Yeah, that was written by our local poet, Morris Bay, and his friend, whose name escapes me, put it to music, and you can't tell that it's not a real person.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually a pretty good song, too, mm-hmm. considering that a human didn't do it. So
I'm on the fence about it all.
Oh, so that's a bit of a progression, because you were very cynical about it, but now you're on the fence. Well, how interesting.
As time goes on.
Actually, I've listened to a number of those AI songs written about Star Trek. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Star Trek fan, and some of them are really good. I've listened to them several times.
So that's interesting, right? Like, yeah. I'm conflicted about it. So are you worried about the transformation of your work as an author and historian?
Not at all. And I'll tell you why. When I was a university professor, I often met students who believed the entire body of human knowledge lived online. They'd tell me things like, oh, I just couldn't find any information, thinking that I would accept that as a reasonable excuse. Instead, I would ask whether they had checked the university library, you know, things like journals and books, things that I used as a student. And I regret to say that by the end of my teaching career, the answer I received most often was, no, I've actually never been to the library. Why bother, they'd say, when everything is online? You know, and I think that reveals the fundamental flaw of artificial intelligence. It can only, quote, know what it knows based on what it's been trained on. And that training data comes overwhelmingly from online sources. Ask an AI a question that can be answered by a Google search or a skim through Wikipedia, and yeah, you'll get a confident, detailed response. But if you ask it something like, what was my grandmother's maiden name? It'll almost certainly not know, and unless you've uploaded your family tree to the open internet, and of course then it can scrape it from there.
Do you think much of what historians do is invisible to AI because it's offline?
Yeah, that's right. And I'll give you a discrete example. A few days ago, I was in a corporate office here in Winnipeg looking through folders from the 1980s, 90s, and early 2000s. They were being prepared for to be sent to an archival facility. The folders contained things like copies of letters, brochures, reports. None of these documents can be found online, and unless that corporate entity sees value in digitizing them and putting them on the open internet, which I highly doubt, the information they contain will be forever inaccessible to AI.
But won't archives eventually be put online?
Yeah, but only partially. And I think for the majority of historians, in too small a quantity to replace the need for offline research. The Provincial Archives here in Manitoba, which, by the way, is the largest repository by far of old documents about the province, they have not fully embraced digitization of old records because of the enormous associated cost and the limited value in making that information available in digital form. There's simply no economic return to justify massive digitization of archives. And that being so, I see the data that is stored in the provincial archives as what you might call a historical iceberg. You know, there might be a wee tip of the iceberg visible on the internet, but the vast bulk of the berg, it's invisible, it's out of sight, and it probably always will be. Yet that huge treasure trove of information that is represented by that iceberg is a wonderful resource from which historians extract knowledge. If an historian wants to access the wealth of information at places like the Archives of Manitoba, I feel they will always have to undertake offline research. Searching physical archives will always be an essential component of a research historian's job. That's simply something that AI can't do.
What about authors? Will AI be able to replace them?
Well, this is where I think AI may play a useful but narrow role. In writing my three books on abandoned Manitoba, I almost never used the internet as a source. To get the information I needed to write about, well, frankly, a lot of obscure and little-known stories from Manitoba's past, I spent months at the Provincial Archives, the Legislative Library, and a host of other offline resources.
What's the narrow role that you referred to when you saw AI playing a role in the practice of history?
I think they can be useful in improving the quality of writing. So sometimes I look at a paragraph I've just written and I think, you know, it could be clearer, it could be more dramatic, it could be more succinct. I have a tendency to go on a little too long, as listeners know. And so I ask an AI to rewrite it, and I find very often that the AI version is better than what I wrote. Now, I would say, though, that the ideas conveyed by the paragraph are still mine, but the AI helped me express those ideas. And so I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, using AI as a tool. Now, will AI eventually get better at capturing nuances that only a human can do? Well, yeah, probably. That's the way technology is. And that's why I worry more about things like editing. I think, you know, now it's kind of rudimentary, but it's only going to get better. But I'm not so worried about the future of writing. This is precisely where that Microsoft study was misunderstood and frankly, sensationalized. It did not say certain occupations would disappear. It said they would be transformed. They'd be assisted by AI, not replaced by it. And in my view, a human historian will always be involved in searching sources, you know, many of them off limits to AI. And people will assemble those research findings in ways that, at least right now, artificial intelligence cannot do. And I think that ultimately is what I hope AI will do for the practice of history. It will be a useful tool, among many others, that help us to interpret and present our collective past in, well, I think quite creative, expressive ways. But the essence will still originate with human intelligence.
And we should definitely reassure the listeners that Gordon Goldsborough is human. This is not an AI version.
That does not compute.
Prove it, Gordon. Prove it. Thanks for this. What's up for next week?
We're going to talk about a trend here in Manitoba that if it continues, and I think it will, could lead to the demise of our heritage sector. Museums, Archives, historical organizations, and more could be gone. It's not a rosy picture, but next week I'll try to explain my thinking.
Oh, dear.
It's not good news.
All right. Well, look forward to that. Thank you, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.